Evan Mitchell, welcome to Sunday Night at the TSO.
Thanks for having me.
It's your first time on the show, so we have some get-to-know-you questions. Are you ready?
I'm more than ready.
As we're like looking down the very short slide into December, what's your favorite holiday movie?
So I'm a big believer in holiday traditions with family, with friends. You know, it's just one of those things that people look forward to throughout the year, all the wonderful things you get to do in December. I have two holiday, if I can sort of dodge a bit, I have two favorite holiday films. One is Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Oh, yeah.
This is a childhood classic. I have very many fond memories with some departed family members watching that as a young person year after year. As an adult, I have to confess that my favorite Christmas film is Die Hard. As they say, there are two types of people, those who believe that Die Hard is a Christmas film and those who don't.
Well, you're in very, very good company. What is your favorite venue in the world that you have performed in thus far?
We're really lucky in this country that we have magnificent concert halls. I think probably my favorite venue to perform in thus far has been the Centre in the Square in Kitchener, Ontario, which is a remarkable space that was modeled after a Bayreuth opera house. And it's acoustically perfect. I'm astonished by it every time that I perform there. It just it amplifies everything that's great, and it gently covers everything that is not. It's wonderful. My orchestra's venue, the Isabel Bader Center for the Performing Arts in Kingston, Ontario, is actually it's a world class hall. It's really quite remarkable. It's the quietest hall I've ever heard, and so it means that you walk out on stage, and even if there is if the whole room is full. You know, 600 people, orchestra on stage. If everyone just collectively held their breath, you would hear silence.
Wow.
So it's a lot of fun to be performing there week in and week out.
I bet. What a treat for you and for the orchestra. What is your dream film with live orchestra concert that you would love to conduct?
So the very first contemporary film that I conducted live to picture was E.T. the Extraterrestrial, 1982, Steven Spielberg, scored by John Williams. And I think that that's as good as film music gets. I think it's extraordinary. I can't get over, actually, how magnificent this music is. I would like to do it again because that was my first opportunity to conduct a film in this particular manner. And I'm a lot better at it now. I'm a lot more seasoned, experienced. I know how to handle these sorts of the strange moments that pop up. I know how to fix things as they sort of crop up in the rehearsal process and, of course, even in the performance process. So I'd very much love to do E.T. again. But the other films on my bucket list, I have to say, are the Star Wars films. I have yet to do any of the Star Wars films, and I think that would be just a real treat. I think 5-year-old Evan would not believe the good fortune that I would have.
Tell us a bit about your musical background. What was the experience that got you going?
Well, I had a kind of a strange musical upbringing in terms of ultimately becoming a symphony conductor. I was always surrounded by music in my family. In my childhood, my mom and my dad had a standing gig every weekend playing at the Berkeley Room in Waterloo, Ontario. And they would do popular songs. My dad would play the piano. My mom would sing. They also had a side business in addition to their day jobs where they would create custom songs for special occasions for a unique sort of birthday gift or retirement gift or these sorts of things. And so there was constant music in the house. Whenever it wasn't my mom and my dad making that music, there was something on the radio, something on the CD player. And when I was growing up, I took all sorts of, you know, music courses. But my first private lesson was when I was 16 years old. It was on the drum set. And so that's sort of an unlikely beginning. Usually, if you're in my field of work, if you haven't started by the time, particularly if you're a string player or a pianist, by, you know, 6 or 7 years old, you're sort of considered over the hill. And so I started when I was 16 with my first private lesson on drum sets. And here I am today. So I love telling that story to prove that it can be done. It can be done. But I went to university, Wilfrid Laurier University, to study music when I sort of came to the conclusion that this is how I wanted to sort of pursue my life's work as a classical percussionist. And then while I was there, I just started conducting first very little and then more and more, just finding opportunities where they cropped up. And I pursued that instead of percussion for a master's degree. And that sort of has been springboard to my conducting career.
Tell us about your program, SoundSync. This sounds very interesting.
So SoundSync was inspired by MTV's pop-up video. So this is the notion that there is a music video on screen, and then little sort of caption bubbles would pop up every so often to say, fun fact about the filming of this scene, this happened, or this sequence was one of the most expensive to film ever for a music video. So it's just little bits of nuggets of information that would pop up every about, 25, 30 seconds or so that just gave a little bit of extra context. And I thought, is there a way to apply that to a symphonic concert experience? And so it's gone through a couple of iterations over the years, but essentially the way that it works for the end user is that you open up a mobile device during the concert, you go to soundsync.ca, and then the magic of technology and the preparation and the resources of various symphony orchestras handle the rest. You look down at any given point during the concert when you want to learn more about the music that's happening right then. Mm-hmm. And in real time, there is a text slide, cream-colored text on a black background to avoid light spillage, that will say, listen to this tuba entrance. They've been silent for 36 bars. Or the violin passage here is extremely challenging to play and is on audition lists. So it's the sort of information that's curated for people who want to know basically guided listening at any given point during the concert. They just look down into their laps where they're cradling and shielding their cell phone's screen glare from others, and they have a useful bit of information right there to let them know what to listen for.
Oh, that's fantastic. You've done a lot of conducting film with live orchestra. What do you enjoy about this particular way of performing versus your regular concert?
The trend that I've seen over the course of my time as a full-time conductor is that attitudes have shifted about the nature of what is quote-unquote good music. The more widespread acceptance of film music in general is something that I'm very happy to report seems to be the case in the current musical zeitgeist. I love a good film score. I think because it's music that is written for a very specific purpose, the composers who fulfill that purpose very well to be able to support a scene or to help amplify the emotional intention or to drive the narrative forward. Really good film composers, when they write music that is effective in that regard, it can sort of break free from just even necessarily needing to be tied or tethered directly to the film. It can exist as its own thing. So I love film music in general. But when you put it all back together and when you have it performed live in front of a huge audience who is just desperate to be able to see this film on a large screen, which they might not have been able to for, decades, there's something extraordinary about it. It's really the best format to happen to the pops side of orchestra concerts in honestly about the last 20 or 25 years. And I think that rush of being able to fulfill this really crazy tightrope walk, for me, especially for the musicians, who basically have to do it all in one continuous shot. There are no breaks. It's just the film starts. And the great thing about this is that the film is very consistent, so you can know what to expect. But the film also doesn't care if you are ahead or behind. And so that constant challenge, that quest for perfect synchronization and for all the artistry and all the emotion to come through with the orchestra, it's a real thrill to be able to conduct concerts in that format.
It sounds kind of athletic. Way you put it.
It's not athletic for me. I wave a little stick around. It's a lot of mental focus and anticipation. For the orchestra, quite often, it's some of the most demanding shows physically you can possibly imagine. Some of these film scores, if it's an action-heavy film, for example, lots of quick playing, and you get very few breaks in between. Sometimes it's just a couple of seconds in between musical numbers, cue to cue. In the recording process, this would have been recorded over the span of at least a few days, and you would have had several kicks at the can. When the orchestra is doing it, you go and you never stop, and what happens, happens, and it's really miraculous.
What can newcomers expect to see when they come?
If you've never experienced this format before, you're really in for a treat. In a way, it sort of ruins you for all of their sort of cinematic experiences, because I think we as people are hardwired to want to experience those shared types of human experiences where we're all sitting together. You might not know the people who are around you, but you're all there for the same purpose. You're hearing wonderful music. You're seeing a beloved film you all want to see together. There's just this sort of shared excitement. I really can't put my finger on it other than to say that it feels as though it's something innate. Probably the greatest cinematic experience I ever had was with my dad when we went to Snakes on a Plane on opening night. Let me tell you, my dad is not the sort of film-going type of person who really would have wanted to go to Snakes on a Plane, much less an opening night. I don't know how I talked him into it. He must have owed me a favor. Anyway, we went, and the audience experience, as you can imagine, was totally bananas because everybody was there just ready for something incredibly silly, incredibly goofy. And I swear it never got below 90 decibels in that theater. And my dad and I both were just laughing so hard that the tears were just, you know, pouring out of our eyes. So I think that that kind of experience is something that you can expect to be amplified by virtue of all the trimmings of a theatrical release with a live orchestra playing every note of the score in front of you, in sync with the picture. And you will simultaneously go for stretches where you will forget that the orchestra is there at all. And if that happens, that means we've done our job correctly. But you'll also be drawn into the music more than you ever have been before, because it is a live element that is coming at you acoustically. You can feel the weight of the music in the air. It's really something to behold.
Elf is a holiday classic. What is it about that film that you think resonates with audiences after all these years?
You know, you can never tell when something is being released, if it's going to find its way to become a classic. But I think that in retrospect, Elf had a lot of the line items in the boxes. It's got an amazing cast. It's a fun, lighthearted story. It's filled with optimism. And I always feel as though the more optimism that we can find wherever we can grab it, I will find myself clinging to these pockets of saying, like, look, here's something that's joyous. Here's something that has a positive outlook on things. You know, the holidays can be challenging for quite a lot of people. And I think, again, circling back to the notion of traditions, one of the reasons why we have holiday traditions is because we can remember beautiful, wonderful, memorable times in our past with family and friends. And those are amazing things to want to recreate or enjoy or think fondly upon. Just the magic that is in virtually every frame of Elf, the fact that it doesn't take itself too seriously, but it has a very positive message. It's super sweet, but I wouldn't consider it over the top saccharine. I think it definitely weaves its way through to navigating the very narrow field to be able to be almost universally likable in a good way. That's a compliment. And I think that just all of those ingredients together come into this melange of a cinematic Christmas classic.
Now, I know people are going to be focused on the film and may, as you say, even forget that the orchestra is there. But are there any special or specific musical moments that you think audiences should listen for?
Oh, well, very much so. I mean, John Debney's score is just, it's a joy from start to finish. I have all sorts of very fun little moments that I know that I am going to be relishing as I go through. It's sort of hard to point some of these out because a lot of my favorite cues are just little tiny moments, little interstitial cues that happen here or there. And they're not designed to pull focus. Rather, they're there to sort of amplify the scene. But the biggest musical number for me, and I think the one that the audience is going to have the most fun with, is the climactic scene in Central Park, where Buddy and Santa are trying to take off on the sleigh, and the engine isn't working, there isn't enough Christmas spirit. And we have the wonderful moment where Jovi finally overcomes her own personal misgivings about all of it and starts to sing Santa Claus is Coming to Town, and they get the whole crowd going. And so it's sort of two things happening at once. You've got that particular scene, which is, you know, very warm and very beautiful, and then the chaos of Buddy and Santa trying to take off in the sleigh, where there's some really furious writing for the orchestra. It's a lot of fun. I think audiences are going to enjoy that very much.
Well, it's sure to be a treat. You've got five performances, so
yes.
You're going to need a bit of stamina, I imagine, for that. Although I'm sure that the joy of the film will buoy you up.
Again, the people who are really doing all the heavy lifting, that's the Toronto Symphony Orchestra. And let me tell you, you couldn't tire them out if you tried.
Awesome. Well, Evan Mitchell, thank you so much and all the best with the upcoming performances.